stop. Threesome Podcast number 68. It's Lex and Stacy. Hello, everybody. Today we talk
Hello, Lex.
Hey, Stace. We talk about all the nonsense that we love talking about. Things that matter, things that don't matter. The only thing they all have in common is they matter to us.
And they are generally dark.
Yes.
And angry, a little hateful.
And if they're not, we make them that way. We could take Disney World and turn it into a completely dark thing, because it is.
Oh, we could. It is. You know, no one has ever officially died on Disneyland or Disney World property. They wait till they get them outside the gates before they pronounce them.
Yeah, I've heard that. So the fuck what? You know, are we all supposed to not think people die at Disney World on a hot sunny day, or the fact they've been drug out there as the grandfather at 89 fucking years old? Who cares?
Oh, I care.
Why?
Hey, you know, you can turn that off.
Okay, George Jetson.
Can we just say, Lex and I are both having our own shitty little days.
Pretty much.
That don't involve each other at all.
No.
We didn't do it to each other, but we're just kind of commiserating in our own misery.
No, I mean, I'm dealing with just something that's stupid. It's the best, and nothing wrecks my day more than dealing with something that somebody on the other end thinks is world-ending shit, and I don't give a shit.
So, dramatics.
Yeah. Involving a horse, no less.
Oh. Is Bugsy going to be turned into glue?
No.
Oh.
No, Bugsy was way too expensive to turn into glue.
It could be a fine glue used for something really snazzy.
Yeah, it could be.
It's like the caviar of glue.
Yeah, and if that's the case, I could make lots of it. After all, he's 1,800 pounds or something like that, but we digress.
Yes.
I don't really want to talk about it.
I understand.
So, see how he did that? Instead of just ignoring you, I actually confronted you and told you I don't want to talk about it. Miss passive aggressive.
Well, see, for this instance, though, that worked. Like, doing a podcast where we just sit here for an hour and ignore each other silently, that's not riveting.
I wouldn't ignore you. I would just proceed and do the podcast myself.
And I would do the same thing, because I am very good at that.
Yes. And yours would be a lot better than mine. Once
Lex
again.
Disagrees. I was irritated with my, you know, you can turn that off.
Actually, I can't for some reason. What the hell? All right.
Do you want me to do it? Do you need me to do that for you?
Why do people think you're going to pick up an unknown phone call? It's like, never once have I thought, you're $1 million richer.
Nothing good comes from an unknown phone call.
No. No,
either scammers.
The only good thing that comes from an unknown phone call, that old medical bill, $67, not $87, like you thought.
Yes. Ooh, thanks.
Yeah. In other words, you know, you get blood out of a turnip.
Lex disagrees, because I, this past weekend, irritated with some members of my family. And, you know, this wasn't anything like life-shattering or anything. I was just irritated. So I opted to not speak to them this weekend. I didn't fight. I didn't tell them to all kindly go fuck themselves. I just chose not to speak to them. And Lex thinks that I was wrong for just not speaking to them.
Yes. I think it's wrong to make somebody think all kinds of things when really your objective is you don't want to talk. So I don't know what the problem is saying, listen, I don't want to talk. Yeah, you know, the other day was bullshit. I'm not ready to talk about it. I'm chilling out. I don't want any drama, intrigue, or BS, so I'll talk to you later. That way they know what the deal is. They know why you're doing it. You've been completely upfront about it. And they even can move on, you know, knowing that they're not going to manipulate you on that day to make themselves feel better.
But see, that to me... And, you know, perhaps it's just because you have trained the people in your life because you deal with them in such a way. To me, that's opening the lines of communication, though. So they can go, but. And then you have to. And then finally,
that's when you have to grow a spine, Stacy. That's when you have to grow a spine and say, I just told you I'm not talking about it. Now, this is the last you'll hear from me today. Goodbye.
I have issues being able to rein in a certain amount of snark and sarcasm when even simply saying, I don't want to talk to you today, somehow it becomes the most snarky, awful thing I've ever said. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, you do have problems with that.
So it's just
which is why you'll never be my Secretary of State, but that's okay.
Oh, it seems to be working. You know, everyone seems to be up Donald Trump's ass because that fuckhead is a snarky asshole.
Nobody's up his ass. He has no fucking chance whatsoever.
Then why is he doing so well in the polls?
He's doing well in the polls in a place like Iowa, who's a bunch of corn-growing, conservative, warmonger, you know, don't let anybody into the country fucks. By the time he gets to more sophisticated parts of the country, he's going to get his ass handed to him. You know it, and I know it.
I do, but it still is worrisome.
Besides, there's equal amounts of douchebags besides him running that people like that, like Rick Perry and Scott Walker and people like that, you know, for douchebag distribution to go around. So somebody like Jeb, who actually has some panache about him, will just move in and take the driver's seat.
I hope so. And I'm not even like a super big Jeb fan. I actually had no issue with him when I lived in Florida, surprisingly enough.
No, I mean, if I had a choice between Jeb, W, or Senior, out of the three, I would take Jeb.
Right.
If I could only have one bush.
And oh, what a bush it would be.
Yes. Give me the Jeb Bush.
Oh my God, that's like a new waxing technique. I would love to see that show up.
Bikini wax or Jeb Bush? You know.
The Brazilian or the Jeb?
The Jeb Bush is very conservative. We just take a couple hairs off the edges.
I think you're on to something.
We're going back to the 70s. It's going to look like you have an optic yellow tennis ball down your bikini.
Did you see that picture I posted on the Facebook page?
No.
Oh, you should scroll back a few days. There was a bush shot. In a bikini.
Oh, let me see.
Not Jeb. But maybe we could name that Jeb.
Let's see. Let me see if I can give it a name.
Speaking of Donald Trump, while you're looking for that, he apparently, you know, his infamous now statements about Mexicans in general. The Joaquin El Chapo Guzman, that drug lord that just escaped from prison again.
El Chapo?
His son. Yes, his son got into a little bitch fest with Donald Trump on Twitter, and so Donald Trump contacted the FBI to ask that it be investigated because he's a pussy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think El Chapo is coming here. He's like public enemy number one.
Yeah, but it's his son. And you really, I can understand to a point, like, I would not feel good if the son of a Mexican drug lord was bitching at me on Twitter. I'd be like, you know, I'm sorry. I don't know what I did to upset you. I'm not Donald Trump.
Yeah, I mean, I have the feeling he was already in the sights before the escape.
Well, the sons told Trump in Spanish that he'd, quote, fucking make you eat all your bitch words, you whitey milk shitter, which apparently milk shitter is an anti-gay slur.
Oh.
Learn something new.
Oh, I see.
It kind of makes sense.
Donald Trump's a lot of things, but he's not a milk shitter. He's a cradle robber, but he's not a milk shitter.
Yes.
Milk shitter.
He's just a vile, kind of, isn't
fucking,
that gross?
Fucking horrible term. Oh my God.
Suddenly, cream pie seems much better.
Yeah. Cream pie. Yeah, I love the...
Did you find the photo?
I love the... No. All I got on our Facebook page is the Ash Evil Dead guy, and then it goes down to Bill Cosby on Vanity Fair, and a...
Wasn't that great?
Yeah.
I saw that, and I was like, that's got to be posted.
And then it goes to the pigs.
And there's nothing farther down.
It must be way the fuck down here, then. Oh, there it is. Okay. Oh, my God. Looks like that guy used to be on Hollywood Squares.
Paul Lynde?
No, the guy with the round glasses. I forget his name.
The other decidedly gay guy?
No, you're thinking of Bruce... God, what was that guy's name? It was French. Bruce something.
And, you know, I should be getting points right now for remembering who Paul Lynde even was and what his name was.
No, you shouldn't. Paul Lynde was middle, Hollywood Squares.
He was the middle square.
He was totally Holly. He was... He was funny as shit. I know that.
And a classic asshole, apparently.
Yeah.
Like, not a nice guy at all.
No.
His redeeming quality in life was that he entertained you on Hollywood Squares.
Yeah, well, that's fine. That's all I needed him for.
I believe he was also the voice of Templeton the Rat in the classic Charlotte's Web cartoon.
Yeah, he had to make money somewhere. It's like, I don't know what Hollywood Squares paid.
Well, what else would he have been known? I don't really know much about the guy, but what did he do that got him a gig on Hollywood Squares?
I have no idea, other than he must have made people laugh at parties or something. I don't know.
I mean, because it wasn't like he was a big movie star or something, right?
Yeah, I let's see here. He doesn't even have a Wikipedia page.
Oh, well, good. Because, again, it sounds like he was a huge asshole. Like,
there it is.
Peter Weller type, or is that... Who was a Pink Panther guy?
Said he was a comedian actor, Peter Sellers.
Peter Sellers, that's... Peter
Weller. That's probably what attracted him to the movie.
Yes.
He was Uncle Arthur on Bewitched, don't forget.
Oh, that's right. okay, now I remember.
He's classified as campy and snarky.
Yes.
He was the father of Harry McAfee in Bye Bye Birdie. On Hollywood Squares for 13 years. He voiced Templeton, the Rat and the Hooded Claw and for Charlotte's Web and Perils of Penelope Pit Stop. apparently, he was an alcoholic and was arrested several times.
Did he ever diddle young people?
Let me see.
Because he's just always struck me as a diddler.
Oh, yeah?
Of some sort.
Let me, alcoholism arrest. Here we go. Let's see. I'm trying to find here if he's been arrested. Lynn was a regular guest from 76-79 variety show Donnie and Marie. On January 4th, he was arrested outside of a gay bar in Salt Lake City.
Wait, there are gay bars in Salt Lake City?
Yeah. Or he he was just standing outside of it and Salt Lake City called it one.
Yes. That's probably
more like it. He died in 1982.
Wow.
Let's see what he died of.
Was it AIDS related or pneumonia related?
They couldn't prove the cause of death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he just died from being a tremendous asshole.
It's possible. Yes. I don't know if that's a cause of death, but if it is, I should be concerned. I should be greatly concerned.
No, because you don't go out of your way on a normal basis to make people uncomfortable.
Not out of my way, no.
You certainly have your moments, but usually they are warranted or at least understood.
I would say 90% of the time they are well-deserved by the other party who gets the assholiness. I will account for the 10% that I probably should have just shut the fuck up. And realizing that whoever that was, I was 10% asshole too, wasn't that bad and didn't deserve the full asshole wrath.
And see, that's why I choose to just not say a word.
Yeah, well, you're a pussy.
I am.
So much more fun to get
a pussy
it
with a Jeb Bush.
It's a Jeb Bush. Give me the Jeb Bush. Okay, that'll be $30, and we really don't do anything other than tell people you got the Jeb Bush. And
okay, any ladies out there who work like at a boutique or a spa or you know some place that takes care of this kind of stuff, please name one the Jeb Bush and then send us a picture of the sign.
Wow.
I want to see this. I want to see this on the front window of some small town's little downtown area. Now offering the Jeb Bush $30.
Yeah. Introducing deflation, the Jeb Bush. All right, so there's numerous things going on. I know you have a couple of things. I know you're a rocker, so Ian brought up on the show recently about the Runaways.
Joan Jett.
Joan Jett. I forget Cherry, what's her name's real last name. And then, of course, Lita Ford was in the Runaways, but was not really newsworthy while in them. Other than we found out later that she had some ability and some talent, and also was 100% heterosexual.
Yes.
Which is probably why she didn't run in circles with other chicks in the band. She just basically did her job and fucked dudes, I guess.
Right.
I don't know if you ever saw...
And duetted with Ozzy.
I don't know if you ever saw the movie The Runaways, but their manager is depicted as a very flamboyant, crazy motherfucker type of guy.
Flamboyant as in gay, or...
No, not gay at all. Just really had, you know, he had this piece of clay with these girls. He knew he had something because a couple of them had ability. And he decided to put them through, like, almost kind of a boot camp type of thing. I mean, he was putting them in, like, he put them, like, in this little double-wide trailer to rehearse. And he invited a bunch of skateboarders in to throw shit at them because he told them this is what's going to happen when you play because you're an all-girl band. So be ready. So, you know, he was teaching them to sit up there and play with shit being thrown at them, you know, and deal with it. Which is seen later on in the movie. They do, you know, as they're playing this party and it just gets wild and there's beer bottles going everywhere and they're just dodging and singing and knocking them down with their guitars and doing whatever they can. So, you know, he kind of knew what they had, but he was also kind of a pervert type of dude. And was a little shady with the money and all that stuff, but at the same time, he made them happen. He got it done. And one of the girls in the band, the fourth one that nobody knows, came out and said that she was raped by him. He's dead now. She was raped by him, and that he did it right in front of Joan Jett and Cherry. Both of which deny emphatically they saw anything like that. One of them, to the point, I think she lives in Sweden now, she said, I'll take a fucking lie detector test when I come back to the States. That's ridiculous. You know, and Joan Jett said the same thing. She goes, do you really think I'd let that happen in front of me?
He goes, you would like to think not, but, you know.
She goes, I'm not saying that didn't happen because some crazy fucking shit happened, but, you know, I never saw anybody taken against their will in front of me. So, both of them emphatically denying, of course, the girl saying that's bullshit. They were both there. They saw it and did nothing about it. So, here we are. How many years later? Almost 45 years later.
Wow.
40 years later? I'm not sure. It was like, yeah, 45. It was like right around early 70s. Like 70, 71, 72, I think the Runaways were doing their thing. Maybe a little later. It doesn't matter. It's a long time.
Yes. That's unfortunate.
But missing is a statement from Lita Ford.
So I assume this fourth person that nobody knows about because she was the least interesting one. She probably was also, I'm going to guess, heterosexual.
Well, I mean, I think Joan Jett was the only one who was completely lesbian. And even at the time, she may not have known as such, but she sure gets portrayed that way in the movie, which she consulted on. So I'm guessing she knew what her sexuality was even when she was 16, 17 years old.
Right.
She knew that was her desire. So in the movie, they don't hide that. They usually see her with chicks and no dudes. So I'm guessing that we probably have a situation of lesbian, bisexual type, and then you have Lita, who pretty much got it across to us twice in interviews on the air that she didn't participate on the other side of the ledger. She's into guys.
Gotcha.
So, the way it looks in the movie is that she was kind of the outcast, you know, that kind of did her own thing and just played with the band.
Right. Was this the Kristen Stewart movie?
Yes.
Okay.
She's conspicuously missing in the screenplay of the movie. There's just not much of her there at all, other than a couple of quick camera shots of a girl resembling her playing guitar.
Gotcha.
Really not much interaction otherwise. So, she wanted no part of the movie, we found out later. She's in her words, moved on.
So possibly some bad blood there.
Yeah, I think there's creative difference bad blood. I think there's, you know, there was so much, there was so much drama and sex and management bullshit and stuff that cluttered up the band that I think she had no time for that. I think she was like, fuck this. This sucks. But we're talking probably 6 or 7 years before she had a solo career after the Runaways died, which I think were like 77, 78, somewhere around there.
Right.
And Joan Jett's album with I Love Rock and Roll on it, I think came out 79, 80, if I'm not mistaken, somewhere around there.
Wasn't it the I Love Rock and Roll album? I don't remember. I know I had it.
Yeah.
On tape.
Yeah, it was some... I'd say somewhere between 79 and 81 without looking it up. Somewhere in there. Just looking at my own life timeline and stuff like that.
And her fantastic version of The Little Drummer Boy.
Ugh. I used to love December as a program director.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because I didn't play one fucking piece of Christmas music. And my ratings for December were always huge. While my competitors, you know, sucked the Christmas dick, so to speak, and played all that bullshit, all that stuff that was made in a day that they all put out just to have some sort of good feeling about themselves. Same fucking songs every year. Greg Lake, Father Christmas, Bruce Springsteen. Oh, God, I used to hate that song.
It's
like building a toy. Yeah. It's like, oh, God, Bruce.
I can understand playing some Christmas music. What I don't understand is the stations that change their whole format, you know, that start like the day after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And it is 100% Christmas music. And it's like, if I were a listener to that station, which, trust me, any of the stations that have done that, I was not a listener of anyway, I would be pissed. There would be, you know, there's a reason why I listened to your station to begin with. It's the music you play or whatever, and now you've changed it. You know, I have no problem with some Christmas classics sprinkled in amongst what you normally give people and what people are there to listen to.
I had a huge problem with it, you know, because I went round and round with Schwartz and some of the other bosses I had. And I said, what product out there, name me one, changes its fucking self? Nobody successful. Why are you having me dick with something that obviously is kicking major fucking ass right now? Why would you change anything? You're stupid.
So luckily, though, rock is a little less apt.
No,
but Martin from Thanksgiving till Christmas,
it,
you know.
But that's what makes it worse, because it's the same fucking songs. Every year in, year out, with maybe one added and one taken out. But it's still the big four, as I put it. You know, the Springsteen, the Greg Lake, and then there were like two others that
Band-Aid.
Yeah, that just got played to fucking death. And
Bob and Doug McKenzie.
And I just remember...
And Cheech and Chong.
I just remember doing my own research with people, and it's like, hey, do you like this stuff? He's like, fuck no, man. It's a bummer when it comes. You know, not one person went, yeah, man. Not one.
I've been waiting all year for Father Christmas.
Yeah. And then if somebody said, yeah, I said, would you rather hear this in lieu of the new AC/DC? Or, oh, God, no. Okay. There you go. So I stopped playing all that shit. And our ratings used to tank in December all the time playing that stuff, you know, and that was the only common denominator I could think of as to why. You know, everybody else was like, well, it's Christmas, people are shopping, they're not consuming as much radio. And I'm like, that's fucking bullshit. This is Arbitron. This is a diary system. Nobody just shuts the faucet off like that.
Right.
You know, it's bullshit.
See, back a few years ago, here in Saginaw, there was, it's the, like, consistently one of the top stations, decided to switch to all Christmas in October. Like, there was no leading into it, like maybe playing a song an hour and then a week later moving up to two songs an hour and gradually phasing into it. They were Christmas from like October until, I don't know, New Year or whatever. And that, to me, I never understood, because it's like, you've just alienated your listenership completely and totally.
Yeah, I mean, seriously. Who's going to fucking listen to that in October? Who's going to listen to it in November?
Right. And, you know, the only thing I could think is the only thing that could be that they could be going for is like being played at work, you know, like in stores and stuff like that. And that's the only thing I could think of. And why would you alienate your regular listeners for the opportunity for someone to play it at work like that? I don't know. I just don't know.
You were out of the radio business before People Meter.
Yes.
But just to give a quick explanation, the diary system in Arbitron is based off of loyalty. People tend to write down their favorite station, and when they think they listen, as opposed to when they're really listening. Well, gotcha. People Meter is, you wear a meter that detects through a code who you're listening to. And the downside of that is, let's say Stacy got a meter from Arbitron and I'm her husband and we're riding to work together in a carpool. And I turn to her and say, "You mind if we listen to my shit today?" And she goes, "No, I don't care." Well, all of a sudden, the rock station in town has some mighty fucking female numbers because Stacy's meter is hearing my fucking station.
Gotcha.
She doesn't give a fuck about it. She's not even listening. She's probably just driving the car. It's white noise to her. We may not even be listening. Both of us may not even be listening other than a little bit of background music or you know, some bit on the radio that's on my station, but I'm not getting credit for it because I don't have a meter.
Right.
She does. So that's pretty fucked up when the number 27 station in Dallas went to number one men because a bunch of pussy whip men listened to their wife's radio station on the way in with their meter on.
Wow.
And
see, now I guess that it would be best to do it in such a manner where it's like a household versus an individual person.
Well, they're trying to do that, but still, if the man and the woman both have one, then you're just negating each other when really only one of those two people is involved in the product. So that's fucked up too,
right?
You know, it's fault. You're sitting in a doctor's office listening to, you know, some top 40 station like Kiss in Dallas. You don't even hear it. You don't even realize it's on, but your meter's like, "Oh, he loves this station. Yeah, he's just lapping this up." You know, it's fucking bullshit.
Right.
So the point I'm getting to is I'm trying to educate myself on this People Meter thing, and my cluster here in Dallas hired this guy out of Houston and deemed him a People Meter expert, even though it was like 6 months old. And he's in the office, and he's trying to show us the software and what it does. So he shows the Lex and Terry show, and he goes, "Here, let me show you a really good hour you guys had." He goes, 7 o'clock hour the other day, you actually had 9 meters. That's excellent." And I went, "That's 9 people? He goes, "Yes." He goes, "That all have their meter on and they're listening to you." Now keep in mind, there's 5.5 million people here.
Right.
In Dallas, Fort Worth. And this guy's got a boner over 9 people.
9 people who are supposedly indicative of these 5 million people.
Yeah, and some of these people may not even give a fuck about Lex and Terry. They just might be around somebody who does.
Right.
And so anyway, I'm like, oh my God, 9? That fucking 9? that's good? He's like, that's real good. I'm like, okay. He goes, but let me show you this. I'm like, okay. So he goes to Christmas Day and clicks on the software, and up comes KVIL, who's been playing Christmas music all month. And he turns on Christmas Day, and there's 23 meters. He goes, literally, this is a verbatim comment. He goes, oh my fucking God, look at that. And I went, look at what? He goes, 23. It's ridiculous. I'm like, it is. I'm like, this is acceptable to you. You have been brainwashed into this being acceptable to you. That out of 5.5 million people, this fucking company that charges an arm and a leg is getting millions of fucking dollars out of all the radio stations here so they can tell you that 23 people are listening on Christmas Day and you're okay with that? Now, of course, they weight those meters where, you know, one of those meters turns into, you know, 35,000 people. And is
I know, in, I was just going to say, yeah. what do they think, you know, how many do
yeah,
they
when you, when covers? You look when you look at the cume, you know, it's like a 250,000 or 270. It's like, oh, you lying motherfuckers. I mean, the diary system was much better. At least it's people that have built a loyalty to a brand at some point.
Well, yeah, and that's you know, even my now distant radio, you know, experience, that's what branding was. That's why you hear yeah. the jock say the name every break that they speak. Yeah. That's why now in between every song, there is something that says the name of the radio station and the numbers or the letters. You know, that's why so that the dumb people, and I'm sorry, but it's so that the dumb people listening, it is literally driven into their heads that that's what they're listening to. So that when they go to fill out a book, there they go. They don't have to go, gosh, what was that station we were listening to? Yeah, and, oh, my God.
And you weren't allowed to say stuff like write it down or anything like that. You weren't allowed to say anything that would push somebody. And I'm like, why? If they're hearing you say write it down, they're listening. Why can't you say that? What the fuck?
Hey, do you have a book? Bring it into our office, you know, and we've got prizes for you.
If they're not listening, they're not going to hear you say, write it down. Do you understand? But anyway, I mean, it's all kinds of fucked up. There's so many better ways they could do it. They really could. There's so many better ways they could do it.
Well, you know, the way I... and. Like with DirecTV, for instance, and like your DVR, the DVRs and like the old TiVos and stuff, you know, those record what is being recorded. They record like what commercials are fast forwarded through. They're, you know, they record the information as to what you're actually watching live on TV as opposed to recording and stuff. And all that information is being sent back to DirecTV, to TiVo, wherever, mm-hmm. you know, your DVR. That's all there. So most vehicles today now come out like with some sort of satellite radio. I mean, yes, you have to pay for that and all that shit. But you can't tell me that the satellite radios in most modern vehicles now can't be recording that information.
They can't. They did not build satellite radio to keep track of that stuff because they, in their egotistical thinking, didn't think they needed it. They didn't think they needed ratings. They didn't think they needed any of that because they were going to give you something commercial radio couldn't. Until they contracted Howard Stern and had to pay for him, and then they had to put commercials on like everybody else. And then they had no fucking way to tell their advertisers who they're actually reaching. So,
but even, I mean, because again, you know, and for, there are people that have the satellite radios in their vehicles but aren't paying for the service. You know,
right.
You've bought a used car and you just don't want to pay for it,
right.
That kind of thing. There should still, have them set up so that they are in a way a type of DVR. So even if you're just listening to local radio and it has nothing to do with satellite, that should, you know, I mean, OnStar is in every modern vehicle now, or some sort of GPS system. I don't know why they can't just be recording what you're listening to, whether it is satellite or local or your own fucking music, you know, via your iTunes or whatever.
Our app tells us exactly how many people are on at any given time.
Is it cool? Do you like sometimes just go look and go, oh, look at that. Because I would be.
well, I mean, you know, the numbers aren't staggering, you know, because you're still on the radio and people are consuming you mostly through there. But it does give you an idea of behavior.
Right.
And that's interesting. Because the behavior on an app is pretty different than radio, because you're probably getting a complete P1 downloading an app. They listen through commercials.
Right.
Where in radio, you know, you got people popping in and out all the time. Different places.
The button pushers.
Yeah,
yes.
Button pushers and stuff like that. I mean, when I ride in a car with Lisa, I kiss the ground that I didn't take that job in New York at the AC station I was offered. I was offered in my mid-20s an insane amount of money to go to New York and program a station. And it was an adult contemporary station, and the guy who wanted to hire me was one of my bosses from the company that saw what I did at the rock station, and he said, right. He goes, it's just a different format. It doesn't matter. You've got this. You know how to do this. And I just looked him in the eye and I said, I would rather make one-third the money that you're offering, knowing that I will stay consistent and competitive in this job, than trust a bunch of women with my career.
Nice.
I've seen too much. They are fickle. They are never the same. They're never consistent in their listening habits. If there's one iota of change in pop culture or pop music or anything, they're gone like the wind to it. And if you're not providing it at the right time and right place, you've become yesterday's news to them. You're just another button. If you're not giving them immediate gratification, you're fucking yesterday's news. I don't want to deal with that. I'm sorry. I'll just take the guy that knows 10 years from now he's going to like Simple Man by Lynyrd Skynyrd. It's a lot easier. You know, men are just, you know, more set in their ways when it comes to their consumption habits.
Right.
They're much more patient. If you give them a bad song, they'll stay through it. If you give them two bad songs, they might stay through it.
Generally, I think someone who enjoys rock is going to like most rock. I mean, yes, we all have the songs where we're like, oh my God, kill me now.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, like you said, 10 years from now, they probably will still be listening to some form of rock. It might be classic rock now versus active, you know, but...
Right.
They're still listening to rock, as opposed to they've suddenly become like a huge Celine Dion fan.
Right. Where a woman can have some sort of cataclysmic thing happen in her life and her whole habits change. You know, all this
life crises, and yeah. Now she's a rock fan.
Yeah, and now she's a rock fan, or she just got dumped, so it's Christopher Cross songs all day long. And, you know, and who the fuck knows? But a guy, he gets dumped, the next day it's, give me three steps, give me three. You know, it's just, and I'm telling you right now, the guy that got that job instead of me, he lasted 18 months. A good programmer, a great radio person. Luckily, he rebounded and moved on to other things, you know, and is still to this day has a great career. But, you know, he and I laugh about it all the time. You know, he's like, I never took a female job after that. You know, and it's painful to watch Lisa drive her car and just, I mean, for one thing, the car's going to far outlast the radio. The way the buttons get, you know, just, you know, that button on her steering wheel that changes her station sets is going to be worn out in a year. It's crazy. I mean, and the shit she listens to is all over the fucking road. And in a 15 minutes, you could hear a hip hop song, a country song, and a rock song.
Do you realize that when I do have satellite radio, it's lithium or nothing else?
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's those chicks that are very dude-like, which is funny with her because in most of her, the rest of her life, she has very dude-like qualities as far as how she lives her life. But her music is still a chick. It's the only thing that tells me 100% for sure, other than that rockin' body of hers, that she's actually a female. Because the rest of her is undramatic and kind of I don't give a fuck like a guy is. But it all jumps out once the music comes on. It's like,
Her vagina rears its ugly head.
And she said, she goes, I don't understand how you can just listen to one kind of music. I'm like, it's not one kind of music. It's rock, but it has lots of different genres to it. You know, I said, but you can actually play it all together and it sounds okay. You know, your shit. No fucking way. There would be riots. There'd be riots in the streets if this was our national radio station.
My all-time favorite job, of course, outside of the Lex and Terry show, was when I worked at Z93 in Saginaw, Michigan, and that was the mid-90s. So I was working at a time when we were still introducing new Nirvana and, you know, new Alice in Chains and all that stuff. I'm so blessed and happy to have experienced that, for that stuff. That was amazing time. And what they were doing at that time, too, is, you know, you would have your brand new Nirvana, and then after that, you'd go into a Led Zeppelin. Or an Aerosmith, or, you know, Stones. It was this amazing mix of classic rock and new rock, and I loved it. You know, the Pink Floyd into, you know, Vanishing Cream from The Hunger, you know, just stuff like that. It was like, this is just fucking amazing. And in the last year or so, I have noticed the rock stations here, which again is Z93 and the Banana and Flint, doing the same thing. It's almost like it's the stations that I worked at, you know, except now it's not new Nirvana, it's 20-year-old Nirvana, but then there's also the Led Zeppelin following that. So there is this amazing mixture of like 40 plus years of rock all being played within like an hour of each other. Yeah. I just love it. It's like, oh, this is so amazing.
I mean, the grunge listener is now 45 years old, you know? So it's become more mature, more adult, and all of a sudden realizes, fuck, my dad's musical taste was pretty fucking cool. I think I'm going to grab some of it, some Pink Floyd, some Zeppelin, some stuff like that, because, you know, and I said this when I started in the business, and it holds true today. It's like there is a year, I'm not sure which one it is, it's somewhere between 68 and 71, where technology got as good as it was going to get with some refined improvements over the next 3 or 4 decades.
Right.
And in some cases, digitally, music digressed a little bit compared to analog, but it got to the point in 71, 72 where the sound was not going to get any better. You know, it was compressed, it was loud. I mean, when you hear something from Led Zeppelin 4 or Houses of the Holy on the air, it sounds fucking great.
And you can hear the squeak from John Bonham's, you know, foot pedal on the drum and stuff. It's like, but, yay!
But it's not like hearing an Elvis record up against a Pink Floyd record. There's not that disparity any longer. So I mean Samantha and her boyfriend their phones and their music are not too different from mine. It really isn't. It's crazy,
right?
You know, we pretty much sit around and talk music, and we'll trade. I'll turn them on to some stuff old that they should listen to, and they do the same for me on the young end. Hey, have you heard this? Have you checked out this? And so I do. That's where I get my information from. And I do the same for them. And now after 2 years of this, it's kind of funny. You ride in the car with them or they ride with me. Nobody's pissed off. It's everybody's like,
right,
this is good. You know, because technically music sounds as good for the last 50 years, you know, or 45 years as it did 45 years ago. You can play it right next to each other and you don't go, oh, my God. That's horrible.
Right.
You know, so, you know, yeah, I mean, you can still hear it sometimes. Like, you hear, like, a Jimi Hendrix record or something. It's like, yeah, it sounds a little tinny, or it doesn't, you know, boy, would that have sounded good, like, made today.
But if you also think, too, and this is something that it makes me a little sad for, like, the millennials, because for me, you know, being a child of the early 80s, like, you know, I was in sixth grade in the early 80s and stuff. And I still, somewhere at my mom's house, have my collection of 45s. You know, I was still listening to actual records, then moved on to cassettes, then to CDs. Kids have never heard vinyl, and they don't know that warm sound that you don't get with the digital. You know, no. It's like some of these albums, even just the little popping and snapping of a record, I miss that sometimes.
Well, here's something else they don't get, for better or for worse, and that is the push of a record company on something that's going to create a new movement. I mean, Nirvana is a perfect example of somebody on a Friday afternoon I was told I had to go see at the office. You know, right, they were doing a showcase down the street. Record companies used to take old failed businesses and clear them out and build a little, you know, put a little riser stage in there and showcase bands to us, you know, and Radio Records, right, and stuff like that. So, you know, there'd be a group of 100 of us that would show up and see this stuff. And, you know, it's like in the span of 4 months, I saw Soundgarden, Pearl Jam, Nirvana, all on showcases, all brand new. And
it's just like a grunge and chubby right there.
And the record company, you know, knew what they had. They knew this was, they could create this. They could start this whole movement. They knew it had legs in a city already and that it was overtaking. So they pretty much knew, once they released this to the rest of the world, it was going to slay. You know, they already had Seattle as a test market, and that's all people went and saw there and ingested a year before the rest of us got to see it. So, you know, when I saw Nirvana, I just remember looking at the girls who were like, I don't know what I'm seeing, but I got to fuck that guy.
His little cardigan sweater.
Yeah. And all the guys were like, what a bad motherfucker this guy is. Holy shit.
I'd fuck him too.
Yeah, it's like, I know why you want to fuck him. I get it. You know, and you know, same thing with Pearl Jam, same thing with Soundgarden. It's like the record company made that. The record companies made that happen. They don't do that anymore. They don't, it's not that way anymore. So big movements like the grunge movement and classic rock and British rock and, you know, British Invasion and all that, that I'm afraid that's not going to happen any longer.
I have wondered, you know, being a middle-aged female, unfortunately. And, you know, again, I remember, as I said, like, you know, being there in the mid-90s, working at an active rock station, you know, so I got to introduce new Alice in Chains. You know, I'm very happy that I got to experience that. I consider that like my version of my parents' 60s stuff, you know.
Yeah, I had dinner with Alice in Chains when they were nothing. It was an inconvenience for me, you know, to have to go have dinner with this fucking new band, you know, when I had to give up my Friday night and go have dinner with them. And then a year later, I'm like, I'm the luckiest motherfucker on the planet.
But I wonder, you know, am I going to see this happen again? And will I be now I guess, too old to appreciate it like I did 20 years ago. If something new and there's a new revolution, you know, that comes along, it probably, if it's every 30 years, it's going to be like in the next decade that this hopefully would happen again, that something's going to come along that's just going to, like, wow everybody and kind of change a generation.
Hopefully. I personally will love it if it happens. I'll be all in. Even if I'm 60 something years old when it happens, I will eat it up with a spoon. You know?
See, that's my thing. It's like, what if I'm listening to it and it's like, you know, the next generation's version of, you know, Led Zeppelin or Nirvana, and I'm sitting there going, God, this sucks. You kids suck. I don't want to be that person.
Well, I'm afraid. You know what though? I was like that with Alice in Chains at first. You know, when I heard it, I was
really
When I heard it, I was, you know, the weird harmonies and you know, the whimsical shit and all that. I was kind of like, yeah, I don't know, man. Because I spent time at dinner with those guys. I hung out with Lane Staley and talked about having the same last names. And, you know, we had a good time and, you know, had a bunch of liquor and good food and everything. Then I went and listened to it. You know, once I met them and got them a little bit. And I remember hearing Man in the Box driving over the hill into the valley one Friday night on KLOS, and I just went, holy fuck, is that good?
I know.
Yeah. You know?
See, now back when I was working at Rock 105 with you guys, I remember David Muir talking about, you know, because they had just gotten done doing some major, major research, you know, stuff for ratings and playing stuff. And I remember him sitting there in his office saying, do you realize there is basically not a human being anywhere that doesn't love Man in the Box?
Yeah.
It's like, it is like the most loved, not hated rock song there is.
Yeah, each of the grunge bands had their song. You know, it's like, Man in the Box, Alice in Chains, Come As You Are, Nirvana, Pearl Jam, Alive. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is a song I love to sing along with. If I'm in the car and it comes on, I just, you know, crank it up, and that is what I'm belting out at the top of my lungs. And I don't care how bad it sounds, because I'm singing, you know. Yeah. It's just, yeah.
And Outshined, you know, from Soundgarden. Yeah, just great stuff. Anyway, we got to wrap up. Good talk about all this. I mean, I enjoyed this today, because This is where shit's at. This is your radio stations, what they listen, you know, what you're listening to and what they're dealing with. We just pretty much highlighted for you, you know, and we actually could talk about it a lot more as to why you don't understand what your radio station's doing right now or whatever, because it's very confusing for them as they get invaded by the digital age and people being able to have much more influence on themselves musically than you used to be able to put on them, you know.
Right. I mean, it used to be, even in the 90s, you know, if you had to be one of those people who went to shows. And mm-hmm. that's where you found the underground stuff. And, of course, it helped if you had a large city nearby that you could go find this stuff. You know, but now you can sit at home and you can find indie bands that no one's heard of and go, oh, my God, I love them.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be that person that's out going to every show and being a trendy little hipster to, like, find new music and stuff.
No, you know, I hear a lot of new cool shit on stuff like Orange is the New Black and stuff like that. You know, that came out.
Oh, I know. I've got Shazam out all the time going, what is that? What is that?
I mean, a lot of it's stuff that came out 20 years ago. I just fucking missed it, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So what was the band? I gotta find it here now. They played some song at the end. I'm like, oh my God, what is that? That's fucking amazing. Let's see here.
I had one. I was watching Californication, and they were playing a song. It was really slow, really melancholy. And let me find it, because I Shazammed it, because I went, okay, that's Paranoid. And I think the guy's name was like Gus Mack or something. Let me look up his name because I added it.
Yeah, this is Bikini Kill Rebel Girl. Was the name of the was the name of the one that was on Orange Is the New Black, and the album is called Pussy Something, Pussy Whipped. And I'm like, oh my god, that's so fucking horrible and awesome. I must have that.
Gus Black does a really slow, mellow version of Paranoid if you're looking for something to just go, wow, that's different.
and this hidden gem came from the movie Repo Man the other day. Pablo Picasso. You must listen to that song.
Pablo Picasso?
You would love that.
Okay.
Pablo Picasso was never an asshole. It's a great song.
See, my theme song right now for like the last year has been Volbeat's Still Counting. That's the song that should play me into every room I walk into.
It's a great song.
I love it.
All right, we got to cut out, Stacey. Our allotted time is up, but great threesome podcast. Enjoyed it very much. We will see you for number 69 next.
Woo-hoo-hoo. Yeah.
We will try and do something special, but probably won't be. So we'll see you then. And we love you. Bye.
Mwah, bye-bye.